Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We're your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest in nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun afterwards. Explicit content warning. This material may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages, so you've been warned. There'll be cussing and whatnot on this podcast. What up, my nerdy peeps?
Hello.
How you doing, Christian?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing swell.
Swell. Swelltacular.
Swell. Ing in my mouth. It hurts a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So, story time. You know, as we always do, start off these podcasts with, you know, catching up with the Nerdy Boys sort of segment. We like to keep you updated on what's going on in our lives. So, I had a few broken teeth in the past. Finally had the dental insurance to get them fixed. So, I went over to this dentist office called Gold Star Gold Star Dentist or something like that on like Laguna Boulevard in Elk Grove.
All right.
And yeah, it's pretty legit. It was a good place to go to. People there, very nice, very professional. And so, like, I had one of my teeth, one of my back teeth extracted.
All right. How was that?
It wasn't painful at all during the procedure, but, you know, now that it's done, there's a lot of swelling and it hurts. And there's stitches in my mouth that most of them, I think, have popped by now. I think there's one lone stitch remaining, which probably going to break in the next day or two.
Yeah, because you keep abusing them.
What do you mean abusing them?
Picking at it with your tongue and taking pictures of it. Maybe it's shy. Maybe those stitches were like, I'm disappearing.
Maybe.
MIA.
But I have to go back Wednesday and get more work done and get those stitches that I already had removed. So, other than that, you know, we've just been working on moving, but, you know, our recurring listeners already know that for the people just signing in, we just found a new apartment to move into. So we're working on that. Doing all that good stuff.
Yeah, we'll be moving next weekend.
Yay.
Yeah. So
more than likely, like, there's like a 90% chance that we won't be doing a podcast next week.
Unless we do it like Friday night.
Yeah. It just really depends. I just don't doubt that we'll even have time for it, but yeah. Yeah, so we have just watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 yet again. Christian, what, this is like your third time watching it?
Yeah, third time.
This is my second time. My first full go-through of the film without like real interruptions of the sorts. You know, little minor things here or there. But I got through it. It wasn't too bad of an experience this time. So we'll be getting that published in the next couple following weeks, like we said. We have a pretty tight schedule with moving in and all that good stuff. So, yes, I think that's all we got for, you know, catching up with the Nerdy Boys this time around. Nothing too exciting for you guys to report. We're going to get straight into the news.
This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
Right. Okay. So a little quick bits of news. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been renewed for a fifth season. You know, it only took them till like almost the season finale to get that. And Gotham has been renewed for a fourth season. So
no surprise there. Gotham been going pretty strong this season. So, yeah. But with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Waiting until it's like season finale to renew for a fifth season, does that give you much hope for the future of Agents? Like, do you just think, like, the Marvel television, like, you know, scene is just not there?
I mean, I think the Netflix scene is there. I think we'll have to see what happens with Inhumans. But from what I've heard, like, the back half of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been really good. We just haven't really watched it. But when it's on Netflix, we'll probably watch it and see what our thoughts are on it. But
yeah,
I mean, the first half was hit or miss. So
right, it was a good one episode, really terrible the other episodes.
Right,
and then it was like really not much to talk to, and that's why we dropped it off of our regular scheduled TV reviews.
Right. And then just a quick bit of news that is old news, really, but now it's official. The Hollywood Reporter has now confirmed what has long been rumored. Anya Taylor-Joy, she was in Split and The Witch, and Maisie Williams, obviously from Game of Thrones, and she played Ashildur in Doctor Who. They're officially set to join the New Mutants cast. Anya Taylor-Joy is going to be playing Magic, and Maisie Williams will be playing Wolfsbane. So.
Ooh, exciting, my dude. All right, in other news, Don Glover to executive produce Deadpool animated series. If you guys didn't know, FXX has announced today a series order with Marvel Television and FX Productions for untitled Marvel's Deadpool series, an animated adult action comedy TV series adaptation of the hit Marvel character. The first season of the series is set to premiere in 2018 with 10 episodes. Atlanta creator and Golden Globe Award winner Donald Glover and Stephen Glover will serve as the showrunners, executive producers, and writers of the series. Marvel's Jeff Loeb and Jim Chory are executive producers as well. The untitled Marvel's Deadpool series is produced by Marvel Television and associated with FX Productions and ABC Signature Studios for FXX, which has ordered 10 episodes for one season. In case you guys didn't know what FXX is, it's like their adult...
Yeah, like their late night.
Kind of. It's like their Adult Swim to the Cartoon Network, essentially. So this was a quote by, who is this? Nick Grad said, Don Glover is an incredibly gifted and versatile artist who will bring the untitled Marvel's Deadpool series to life with the same intense singular vision as his breakout hit Atlanta. With the success of Legion, we're looking forward to again partnering with Marvel Television to create a series that is bold, striking, and entirely original. Jeff Loeb added to that, saying, how much more fun could this be? Deadpool, Donald, and FX, the perfect fit for the Merc with the Mouth. We're thrilled that our relationship with FX has started with Legion and continues with what is sure to be groundbreaking show and adult animation.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, what do you think?
I think this is Marvel saying, hey, Fox, guess what? We can make money off Deadpool too.
Pretty much. Because in case you guys are a little bit confused by the legality of it all, basically, rights only refer to live action stuff.
Well, television and film are separate as well. Like Marvel owns the television film rights to X-Men, whereas Fox owns the movie rights to X-Men. So.
Yes.
It's all kind of confusing, and within all that, if you guys saw Guardians of the Galaxy, you know the Watchers appeared, you know, no spoilers, but it's like big celestial kind of beings like that, huge like races of aliens and extraterrestrials and things like that that, you know, you would assume Fox owns are shared property because of how big they are. That's in the contract as well. So very crazy kind of rights things going on, and it's hard to keep up with them sometimes.
Yes. One more note that this show is going to be an adult television series, much like, I mean, even a more crazy intense version of like something like Family Guy, Rick and Morty sort of deal where they do a lot of outlandish things. So this show is not for children. Don't let your children see this show when it comes out. I mean, if you do, don't sit there and be angry with the studio. Because you're just a terrible parent.
Yeah, don't assume just because Deadpool is a superhero that he is appropriate for all ages, much like our podcast.
Correct. All right.
That's all our news,
there's
guys.
Another piece of news.
Was there? All right, off the dome, Mad Lib status.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love
Powerless. got canceled.
Oh, yeah, that got canceled. We haven't watched that or talked about it, so, you know, I didn't include it. But, yeah, it got canceled.
That doesn't surprise me.
I watched the first episode.
Does it surprise you after watching the first episode?
No. I mean, it's a little surprising because they did have, like, some stars on there. Like, Alan Tudyk, obviously, is amazing. And Vanessa Ann Hutchins is very attractive. But, no, they didn't have a lasting star power. Like, and I'm sure the writing wasn't very good just based on the first episode. And, yeah, nobody probably watched it.
Yeah, I don't know what time they had it slotted for, but I would just assume, just off the premise, that not a lot of people tuned into it because it just doesn't, you know, from, you know, the premise of it, it's not dealing with any one indirect, like, superhero. It's just, like, blah, you know? There's no real interest there, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like Alan Tudyk is, like, Bruce Wayne's, like, cousin or something,
like retarded cousin or something.
Pretty much, yeah. So that doesn't surprise me. I mean, all our shows got renewed, even Riverdale got renewed, so
yeah.
We're excited about that. I don't really care about Powerless to be honest. So all right, you ready to get into the shows?
Yes sir. We're gonna start off with Gotham.
Gotham, Season 3, Episode 17, Heroes Rise, The Primal Riddle. The most unhinged villains of Gotham come together as the Riddler continues his conquest. Gordon's search for the Riddler, search for answers keeps leading him back to the Court of Owls. Alfred notices a change in Bruce, while Bruce, too, confides in Selina. All right.
Interesting synopsis.
Both of those Bruce were Bruce 2s, by the way.
Yes. Because
Bruce was not in this episode.
Correct. So what'd you think of this episode?
This episode was very good.
I thought it was okay.
I liked a lot of this episode.
I love the stuff with, like, the Riddler.
Mm-hmm.
I really could care about Down Syndrome Bruce.
Down Syndrome Bruce pushed Selina out a window.
That was pretty crazy.
And I don't know if we're supposed to assume that she's dead.
No.
But she looked pretty dead, and she was laying there for a long time. Like, nobody just lays on their back with their eyes open for, like, 6 hours.
So what do you think about, like, the new personification of the Riddler?
Oh, the Riddler's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's doing a lot of great stuff, and he stabbed some guy on stage. Now he's, like, going to be, I guess, working with or for the court, which is weird.
I guess that's what we're, like, led to believe.
Like, for a secret organization, they seem to let a lot of people into their ranks.
Correct.
Like, we've complained about the personification of the court the entire time, like, and the way they've been represented and the way that they're just because they're in it in general, like, they shouldn't be. And I think this is no exception. Like, why would they care about these little things the Riddler's doing? Like, he's not going to be able to expose them if they don't want him to, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then Jim just gets in the court. Like, he barely had to do anything.
Well, yeah, I guess it's just, like, they already wanted him, but they just needed, like, that one goodwill gesture from him to allow him into the ranks, essentially.
Yeah.
To become an official member. What'd you think about Lee and her, "I'm going to take you down, Jim"?
Oh, yeah, I didn't care about that at all.
Yeah,
that
I didn't
was
really
stupid.
Care about that.
I'm going to take you down because you hurt people around you. Like, shut up. Like,
I mean, like, I feel like I should be more excited for, like, the assembly of, like, all of our keystone Batman villains.
Yeah.
You know, Penguin, Firefly.
I don't really care about Firefly, but yeah. I thought, like, recruiting, like, Dr. Freeze was cool.
Yeah.
Or Mr. Freeze, I don't know, whatever. And I don't know, I liked when he was going around trying to, like, recruit them and things like that, but I can see what you're saying. It's, like, it's just a lot of build up to essentially nothing in this episode. Like,
so it just, like, leads us to believe, so it's like when we're led to believe that Bruce is training wherever he's training,
he's not gonna be there for very long.
Yeah, so, like, they're using him to build back up the city. So it's like, are we just gonna get a young version of Batman in this television show? It seems like, maybe.
I'm not
especially
sure.
With, like, the assembly of the Batman villains coming into Gotham, I mean, would it not seem that they will just...
They need a Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
But with the way that they build up, like, Jim Gordon it doesn't seem necessary for a Batman.
Yeah, and Jim isn't, I don't know. Like, so what do you think of, like, the idea that the show is like, the court is responsible for Batman?
I don't like it. I definitely don't like that.
Like, the court organized this whole thing, and now,
trains
you know,
him, apparently.
Like,
and, I think it's pretty garbage, honestly.
Like, do we think the court had his parents killed?
Well, yeah, we already know they did.
Oh, do we know that? Yeah, I'm pretty sure we knew that. Sorry.
Yeah.
They're just responsible for killing a lot of people's dads and moms, aren't they?
Pretty much. They're just a big bag
the court. The court of orphans.
The court of orphans.
Yeah. So we know this Bruce 2 or whatever phony is dying.
Apparently,
but like slowly. Like,
I don't even know what they're trying to do with that whole thing, and yeah. It's just a little confusing and just, yeah, seemed riddled with, like, plot holes of sorts.
Yeah. Selina flew out a window.
She sure did. I mean, he gave her, like, this is Sparta type of beat.
Yeah.
This is Sparta!
But he just, like, kind of, like, pushed her really hard.
Yeah, it would have been badass.
Like,
if
aren't
you
cats,
give her
don't
boot.
Cats always land on their feet?
Yeah, she's just, like, dangled down there, and I was just like, this is hilarious.
I feel like I liked this episode a lot more than you did.
Yeah, no, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it at all?
No, not really. I mean, like, the Riddler made up for a lot of it, because, I mean, that was, like, the main story in the episode, but...
Yeah.
It just...
I feel like a lot of stuff happened in this episode.
A lot of stuff did happen in this episode, and I don't like... I just felt like it was... almost like so anticlimactic, like the buildup of the assembly of the villains, and it's like,
yeah, not much happened with them in this episode, and then the whole like fire and ice kind of garbage we've dealt with for years, so
right. And the whole just concept of like the court being behind like the rise of Batman, or what they're trying to lead us to believe is like the rise of Batman, I just don't like that. I don't like it at all.
All right, well, I'm sure you're going to give it a very low grade compared to mine.
Go ahead. I want to hear what you have to say first.
I would give it an 8.8.
8.8? Maybe like a 6.5.
Really?
Nah, 7.0. Just kidding.
Oh, my Lord. Now I got to rewrite it. All right. Well, yeah, that's pretty much it for Gotham. I mean, like, yay. I think it's on a roll. It's getting better and better. I think it'll continue to get better, but I can see what would anger you about all this. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's then get into Supergirl.
Supergirl, Season 2, Episode 20, City of Lost Children. National City is attacked by a Forian, a normal peaceful race with telekinetic abilities.
Yeah.
What a synopsis.
Yeah, they're normally peaceful until you set off like certain things and then they're brainwashed or something.
Right. What do you think of this episode?
I like this episode.
I didn't care for this episode either.
I feel like when you watch all these episodes in one day, you don't like them a lot of times. Like, you're just, like, uninterested.
I feel like
them.
I need to, like, watch these shows, like, in order. Because, like, when you, after you watch them after The Flash and after Arrow, they become significantly worse.
Yeah. I like this episode a lot. I feel like it gave Jim, like, Jimmy Olsen, like, an actual purpose. Like, besides, like, I think the show is, like, catching on to the fact that nobody cares about Guardian. So, like, now they're
right.
Making him, like, you know, actual Jimmy Olsen has a purpose as himself.
I just don't care about his character, though.
I thought it had a lot of good stuff in this episode with, like, him connecting with the kid and all that stuff. I liked all that. It was very, very nice.
Very nice.
Very sweet.
Very nice.
You didn't. You just don't care enough about it, Jimmy, to care about any of that stuff.
Yeah. No.
And how he saved the Forians.
The Forians.
Without his suit and stuff.
I mean, I don't think it was bad by any like measure or whatever.
Like,
to me,
that was the heart of the episode, and that's what really kept me interested, because I don't really care about the Lena Rhea stuff going on, you know. I mean, and that's like the important, I guess, stuff where, you know, all these Daxamites throughout the galaxy are now coming to Earth, and this is going to be our season finale, assumingly, the next two episodes. They're going to be fighting the Daxamites. But yeah, I liked all the stuff with Jimmy. I thought it was done well, and I felt like it was like the first look at like how like this character as Jimmy Olsen should be, as opposed to like what they've been doing with him.
Yeah, I just hate Guardian. I just don't, it's garbage.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it's improperly motivated, because like if a dude in an outfit saves your life, who's just gonna sit there and scream at them and say, "Get away from me"?
Right.
Like, that didn't make much sense to me, but all right. People are apparently afraid of Guardian because he solves problems with his fists.
Yeah. What was like with Jean being just like a total dickbag to him, though?
Yeah.
Just being a big giant.
That is the show. Like, that's the show showing its colors. Like, you know, they're like, you can tell like the writers like, we need to properly motivate Jimmy to like, you know, want to do something, so let's make everybody be a dick to him and make it, let's really rub it in that he's nothing and he doesn't belong here.
You're shit.
You dishonor whole family.
Yeah, family.
Yeah, I liked all that stuff. What would you grade it then?
I would give it like a 7.5.
All right, I gave it a 9.
Okay.
So
you just enjoyed this stuff more?
Yeah,
than
yeah. I like the Jimmy stuff. I like it a lot better than what they've been doing with him. So
I guess I could agree with that. I think at this point I just feel so disinterested, and like I feel like they've essentially tried to in sorts use him more because like they're missing Kat.
Yeah, but she's coming back as well.
Is she?
Yeah, for the season finale.
Oh, well, not as a season regular.
Oh, well, I don't know. And Superman's going to be there, too.
Ooh.
All right. Let's move on to The Flash, then. Season 3, Episode 21, Cause and Effect. Barry takes desperate measures to stop Savitar, while HR keeps pressuring Tracy Brand to set a trap for Savitar. And Killer Frost has an interesting proposal.
What?
All right.
What'd you think of this episode?
The Flash is on a roll again. Another winner. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay, but was it me? Or just like in some sense or another, feel a little bit of a filler. Like, it didn't truly progress the story at like this point in this year, is episode 21.
Well, I mean, it got like, it's them, you know, actively trying to stop Savitar, but they messed up. And we, you know, we didn't end in a new place, really. You know, we ended back where we started.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially. So, in many. Like, I mean, great, great character builder, and like really got a better look into Barry and Iris's relationship, and it was so great. And like, as far as like fillers go, this is how a filler should be. It should be fun and it should be so good, you know?
Yeah.
But I do have to say, I do feel like it's a filler, and I don't like the fact that it was filler, because you're so late in the season. We only have so many episodes left. It's like, whatever at this point has to progress the story along. All we did was figure out that wiping Barry's memory doesn't really affect it affects Savitar, but it erases who Barry is as well.
Right. You can argue that most Team Flash didn't accomplish anything, but Tracy Brand did, you know, with the speed, well, I call it a speed cannon, they call it the Speed Bazooka.
Right.
But they figured out, you know, what they need to do to set that trap for Savitar, and they need this big power source. And they know where they're going to get it, kind of.
But, okay, but fairly, to critique all shows in the same fair manner.
Yeah.
When we were doing other episodes where we felt that there were fillers, and we pointed out one segment in the episode and say, oh, this is actually not really a filler part of the episode. It actually does help the story, but we can't judge an entire episode off of one scene.
No, but this episode, like it didn't end in a new place, but we ended with more information on our main story. Like, you know, Barry went through the whole thing at the beginning, like, well, what if I just kill myself? You know, then you can't exist. And then I'm sure you enjoyed the shout out to Eddie, you know.
See, I told you that Eddie killing himself didn't actually kill Eobard Thawne. Yeah, Eobard Thawne.
Because he's a remnant, right? So.
And I was just like, I knew I was right.
Yeah, so it's like, we learned that. We learned so much about how this Barry is Barry from the future. Kind of not from the future, essentially. By saying this, I am a little bit misrepresenting it, but for those of you who kind of don't understand, like, to me, this is Scarlet Spider-Man, Scarlet Spider, you know? Like, similar. Like, this Barry is kind of a clone of our Barry.
Right.
Like, technically, he's not. Technically, he's the same exact person from a different point in the timeline who should have been killed but wasn't. You know, he's a time remnant. Not a clone, but essentially he's a clone who lived all the same experiences. He's Ben Reilly to me. So, what'd you think of, like, that explanation? Like, did that work for you, or do you kind of wish, like, are you still just...
Like, they just... But, like, the way they kind of explain it, well, it's just an infinite loop, like, that doesn't really explain, like, how Savitar happens. Like, they explain it in the sense that, that it's, you know, the Savitar is the time remnant, right? And it's because of, like, his loss and pain and all the things that happened to him, that's what leads him to become Savitar.
Yeah, they tried to make it seem like they were explaining it by saying we can't really explain it. It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Like, Savitar exists essentially because of what happened at the end of last season. It's not really Flashpoint. It's when they were fighting Zoom and he got all the remnants back or whatever to help beat Zoom. Or he had that one remnant, you know?
No, it was, he said, this is a result of Flashpoint.
It could be, yeah. It probably is. I don't remember, honestly. I remember he them said, mentioning Zoom, because remember he had his time remnant help him beat Zoom.
Yeah, and he said all these time remnants, we tried to build a time remnants in order to defeat Savitar,
mm-hmm.
but they allowed me to live so I could become
Savitar.
So
he
Savitar.
Could become Savitar, yeah. And then... But because he lived, all his friends rejected him because he wasn't the real Barry.
Right.
He was just a remnant, and that's why he becomes Savitar. And then when he becomes Savitar, he goes back in time, way to the beginning, and starts the myth of Savitar, which
right.
is why, you know, all this stuff.
This is essentially like an infinite loop of, like,
right.
Savitar and
so
Barry. And time
it limits. Shouldn't be too difficult to stop that loop. but
I think they need to figure out that... They need to figure out that they have to kill him. They have to kill the time remnant.
And they have to figure out how to do that and when to do that and where, you know, all the stuff in the timeline and without Barry messing up the timeline again. You know, it's all very, like, I think...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think they explained it very well and it all kind of works.
Yeah, it does work. So here's my guess. So remember, Barry sent a message to the Legends.
Yes.
I feel like they're gonna
don't
have,
trust me.
Yes, they're gonna in some way or another, they have to come and help him. I feel like
the Legends.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because what would be the purpose of him sending him that message and letting us know that, you know?
Well, I think the purpose of it was so that in that episode, the crossover episode, they can be like, "Well, we can't trust you. You told us not to."
Right, or I guess just to kind of foreshadow him being Savitar, maybe that was the entire purpose of it all.
Yeah.
I guess that could very well be, but I feel like there should be a little bit more to it. Like maybe like somebody on Legends comes and helps Barry.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, maybe I'm stretching or whatever, but I don't feel like it's too far-fetched.
Yeah, I feel like this episode, I feel like it was less of a filler, because I feel like if they didn't do it, well, we wouldn't. I mean, they could have explained, like, the how it was Barry and, you know, the speed cannon thing in a different form episode. But if they didn't do this, we'd be wondering, like, oh, well, why can't they just, you know, get rid of the short-term memory thing, you know, like, or, you know, whatever. And this episode is pretty much like, they tried it, it didn't work, which happens a lot. But it is part of the main arc, so I still count it as, like, a regular episode more than a filler episode.
I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree.
Yeah. So let's talk about Bart Allen.
Bart Allen!
The grandson of Barry Allen and Iris West.
Who becomes Impulse. Impulse, yes. Kid Flash.
Yeah.
You know.
And, you know, does this, are we tying in with the Teen Titans show coming out? Like, is this going to happen?
Maybe.
Kid Flash goes over there, and then Bart Allen comes, and he's our Kid Flash?
Yeah.
Or what?
I mean,
I don't know.
Who knows?
They mentioned him so many times, Bart, you know? Like, it wasn't just, like, the one-off where he's like, Bartholomew Allen, I'm going to go by Bart. Like, they mentioned it more than one time, so it's like, I think it's a pretty significant Easter egg here.
Right. I do agree. I think eventually that's what we're kind of building towards.
Yeah.
Is to get Bart Allen.
I don't know how or when we'll see him. I just know that eventually we will.
I feel like if anybody would go off and be part of the Titans, I think it would be Wally.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully Arsenal goes over there as well.
Or, here's another theory.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think the way the season ends and the way he figures out how to stop Savitar is that he traps himself in the Speed Force.
And then Wally becomes Flash.
Exactly. And because remember Savitar is like, you trapped me in the Speed Force. Maybe this is how he traps him.
But if he traps himself,
we also know that What's-Her-Name also helps builds the
speed
bazooka.
Bazooka, yeah. I'm just calling it the speed cannon. That's what it is. Isn't it in the comics? It's a speed cannon.
I think it's something different.
Is it? I don't know. I don't like the bazooka thing. So why are they so forcefully pushing the Harrison Wells HR relationship with Tracy Brand? Do you think they're going to kill him?
I think so. I think it's a strong possibility.
I think
HR or Tom Cavanaugh plays a brilliant role in the show, that he's the chameleon of the show. He plays whatever the team needs that season. So in the first season, it was a mentor.
Yeah. Friend and mentor.
Yeah.
/ betrayer.
Yeah. Season two, almost a little bit the same thing, but slightly different.
And tough love.
Yes. Tough love.
Hard ass.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody that helps motivate you.
Yeah.
And this one is just like the laid back kind of motivator, the idea guy sort of thing. Gosh, dang it.
Yeah.
Stupid Daniel. If you're listening, stop calling us.
He's not listening.
Yeah. But anywho,
yeah.
What would you grade this episode?
I would give this episode a 9.2.
A 9.2. I'll give it a 9.0. Even though I did feel like it was a filler episode, I thought it was a great filler episode as far as fillers go.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this episode did a lot, to be honest. And, like, it really made you, you know, believe, you know, that Iris and Barry are meant to be together.
Yeah,
like,
no,
totally.
They fell
in love despite everything, obviously, so.
I feel like maybe this episode makes us feel as though maybe Iris doesn't die.
Yeah, and we do know, we also know that Caitlin is still in there.
Oh, yeah.
She is still aware of all this. So, next episode, they're going to go break into Argus with Captain Cold.
Sick.
Assumedly in the past, right?
Yeah, probably. I can't wait for it.
Time travel.
All right.
Let's talk about Arrow then.
Hey, Arrow, Season 5, Episode 21, Honor Thy Father. Oliver faces the forced release of criminal prosecuted by Adrian Chase while a crate is delivered to Oliver's office containing the corpse in concrete.
Yeah, so some dead dude in concrete.
that apparently his Faja has killed.
Yeah, he was the old, like, counselor kind of guy for the Glades.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad killed him. But it seemed like it was, like, an accident, you know, from the video.
Right.
But we do know that, you know, Robert Queen wasn't perfect.
Right.
And obviously Oliver is who he gave the responsibility to right his wrongs. So that was a thing.
Yep.
Yeah,
Thea.
Yeah, Thea's back.
You know, dealing with coming to grips that, you know, her father's a murderer, and then, you know, trying to, like, place where she lies with that. Like, is she, like, does she forgive him? Or I think, like, the thing in this episode was very, like, how do I say it? There was a meaning behind it, right?
Yeah.
Like, leaving what happened in the past in the past. And they often say that.
Yeah, moving forward.
Yes, being able to move forward. So that's essentially everything that happened in this episode was all about that.
Yeah. It was digging up the past and moving forward. So what did you, like, think of... obviously, we go back... We have our flashbacks back this week.
Correct.
Love Anatoly, obviously. And the big Easter egg that Slade is coming back. Because his mask on the beach. Sick.
Sick one.
But we know he's going to be in the finale. So, can't wait for that. What'd you think of the flashbacks in this episode?
Well, they're good. I think they're finally coming full circle. And it, you know, just proves that I was right that, you know, when season 5 ends, there's not going to be any more flashbacks. Because then we're just at the beginning of season 1.
Yeah. So, Ollie's... We get a Roy Harper shout out, which I adore. You know, he's like, oh, were you with Roy? And she's like, I don't even know where he is. I'm like, ha-ha, he's going to be a Titans.
Oh, gosh. I mean, maybe. That is a possibility, but I doubt it, you know?
Yeah.
One could dream.
So what'd you think of this episode as a whole?
I thought it was pretty good. You know, definitely loved the stuff with Oliver and Thea. I feel like Oliver's kind of acting, because you ever, like, notice, like, when he gets into, like, some sort of speech mode, it's like almost unbearable at first.
Yeah, until he always gets into it. Yeah,
and it's like he almost seems like he's tortured trying to find the words. But, like, these, like, I don't know, like, what happened as of late. Like, maybe just the way they're writing it or whatever, or maybe he's acting it a little bit different. It's getting better.
Yeah, could be the direction as well.
Yeah.
So Renee essentially bails on his daughter.
Yeah.
I guess.
How'd you feel about that?
It's
heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's very upsetting. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that wasn't heartbreaking, like Oliver being back in costume and kind of beating Chase.
Yeah, like, Chase gave up. I mean, I've seen, like, the preview for the next episode. Have you?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we know that pretty much. It's just a ruse.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. You didn't
Come on.
Really
we all know Chase is just unhinged. And, God, I fucking love T-Spheres.
I know, right? So good.
When they're, like,
gives me such
cutting through the concrete and stuff.
Right.
I was like, that is so cool.
Right.
They're, like, my favorite thing. But, yeah, Oliver. Arrow continues to roll, as well as The Flash. And they're the all-star shows this year, so.
Yes, sir. So, winners and losers of the week.
Well, we have to grade this episode first.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Grade it. Go ahead.
I give it a 9.2.
Give it, like, an 8.8. All right, now we can do winners and losers.
Yeah, the winner's The Flash.
Yeah, The Flash, and then loser is, what did I say?
Gotham,
yeah.
Yeah, my loser is, I give everything such a high grade. My loser is also Gotham, but I gave it a high grade still, so.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, that is all of our shows and all of our news this week. We'll have to discuss some scheduling things, so be alert, follow all of our social media so we can keep you up to date on our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, etc.
Sir.
If you're interested in any of that, if you want to know when our next podcast will be, when our Guardians podcast will be, follow us on those things, all right, guys? Yeah. Anything else? You have anything to add?
Yes, we have a YouTube page.
Yeah.
So go follow our YouTube, subscribe, check out some of the videos, like, comment, and subscribe on them. If you guys have any feedback, good or bad, leave that in the comment section below the video. And, you know, let us know, you know, hey, good job, keep going or whatever. Or, you know, hey, you guys are shit. Let us know why.
Yeah.
Because any feedback is good feedback for us. But with that being said, that is all that we have for you guys this week. As always, we are your host. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we got one simple message to leave you with, and that's stay nerdy, boys.